We heard St. Peter tell us in his first letter, our second reading for today, "Beloved, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially according to each one's works, then conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning, that is, our time here on earth, realizing that you were ransomed from an old, useless way of conduct, a useless way of life, that was handed on to you by your ancestors. That we've been ransomed not with perishable things like silver or gold, but we have been ransomed with the precious blood of Christ as of a spotless, unblemished lamb." Before people called us Christians, before we as Christians realized that our faith was indeed Catholic, that is, universal, and used that term to describe ourselves, we were known first as people of the way. As people of the way. A way is how one does something, how one goes someplace. Also, it's a journey. And for us, our way means a journey to Christ himself. In the Acts of the Apostles, we see what kind of way the early Christians lived. We heard in the first reading last Sunday that the first Christians devoted themselves daily to the teaching of the apostles and to the common life, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they cared for one another, enjoying one another's company and rejoicing in one another. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, that is, the apostles as they explained the teachings of Christ, the gospel. They devoted themselves to a common way of life. They were in communion, united to one another, in love, caring for one another, in unity and solidarity, and of course devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, the early term for the Eucharist. In the gospel we just heard, we have two downcast disciples who are on a journey. They're looking for Christ. They're trying to keep faith, knowing that Christ had died. They were looking for some kind of hope, and they did this because of their love for Christ. Then the Lord appears to them. They don't recognize him at first because, of course, they figured that he was dead. And when he rose from the dead, of course, he has a glorified body, so they don't exactly see the Christ that they once knew. But then Jesus begins to reveal himself to them gradually. First by explaining all the scriptures that referred to him, and then, of course, in the breaking of bread. In a word, what you have here is the very first description of the Mass, don't you? The explanation of the scriptures, and then the Eucharist itself. And Christ himself is recognized in the breaking of bread. Their attention, of course, is not well focused. But in his love, Christ reveals himself to them. And notice that late St. Luke in the Gospel is laying out the very same pattern as he did in the Acts of the Apostles, that there is a journey, that there is a way to Christ. It's by the teaching of Christ, communion of life, Eucharist, breaking of bread, with hearts burning with faith, burning with hope, burning with charity, as Christ is revealed. This is our life. This is the Christian life. This is the way. Jesus told us that he himself is the way, that he is the truth and the life, and that no one would come to the Father except through him. So in his love, Christ gives us the church. He gives us the grace of the sacrament of holy orders to continue the teaching and the explaining of the gospel. He gave us Peter and the apostles and their successors, our holy father and the bishops, to continue the task of the apostles. And through the church, he gives us the sacraments to establish a bond of communion among believers, beginning in baptism and we're washed away clean of sin and made sons and daughters of God. We're made members of Christ's body, the church, joined together to one another. In the sacrament of penance, otherwise known as confession, Jesus renews our communion when it's broken by personal sin. And in the Eucharist, he binds us together in a real and substantial way to himself and to our brothers and sisters who likewise participate in receiving his body and blood. Together we all form one body, one spirit in Christ. This is no mere fellowship. It's something far deeper and everlasting. It's a bond of love and it's a bond of unity. What we're going to experience in heaven begins here on earth. Jesus sent us the fullness of the Holy Spirit through confirmation to give us every grace, every strength to follow the way and to lead us into holiness and into righteousness. In all of this, we become, you and I, become living tabernacles. Like Mary, we become Christ bearers. And that's who we are. That's what it means to be a Christian. That is our way. Because of that, we go back to those words of St. Peter. To conduct ourselves with reverence during this time of our journey. We've been freed from an old way of life. We have become something new. And so the choice is ours. We can choose to remain slaves if we want, as so many people do. Even though they were once freed in Christ, they go back to the old way, bound to the earth, bound to the ways of the world. That is, if we choose to lie, if we choose to cheat, we choose to steal, we do this to make our own way and to get ahead of other people. We can choose to use others or distort the truth for our own supposed benefit. If we continue to sow discord, perpetuate hatred, anger, and division, or embroil ourselves in greed, lust, and self-indulgence like the rest of the world does. If we lose our way, then as you notice, we get a very good picture of the deep pain, the emptiness, and the sadness of hell. But that's not what Christ wants. If we follow the way of the world, our hearts will burn, not with the joy of life, but with the despair of death. Christ has given us another way, a way in which you and I have been placed by the Lord Himself, by the love and mercy of our Father God Himself. A way that was envisioned by King David long before Christ came into the world, but a way that finds its perfect fulfillment in the Lord. As Psalm 16 said, "Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God, my allotted portion in my cup. It is you who hold fast my lot. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord, not the world, I set the Lord ever before me, and with him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, because of him, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to death in another world. You will not suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. Instead, you show me the way, the path to life, abounding in joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever." May this, my brothers and sisters, be our way. Let this be our life. Let our hearts burn with Christ and this love, now and forever.